Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministry. Welcoming you back to the program. We're going to take up today where we left off yesterday, talking about the rich young ruler. And we ended the program yesterday talking about, I was mentioned that there's a responsibility to having money. There's a responsibility to being wealthy. And that responsibility involves to be compassionate to the poor. And there's a lot of people out there that's got so much money. So much money the government puts death taxes on getting the money and inheritance tax for receiving the money. I mean, there's just a lot of money out there that people have when they die. And the sad thing to me, honestly, is that there's so many people that don't realize how much they could do if they understood the Bible and was a follower of Christ like they should be. There's people with a lot of money that give a lot of money, but yet when you read their names in the magazines and, you know, or TV or whatever, you hear about how they're still worth, you know, $700 million or $2 billion or $50 billion, and they give away a lot of money. Well, they're not giving away enough, in my opinion, and that's my opinion. I know there's a lot of people disagree with me, but if you've got that kind of money at your disposal, it's more than you can spend in a lifetime. You should be doing work for the Lord with that money. Whatever it might be, you know, feeding the poor, building homes for people, going to like in the United States, there's so many places in the United States, kids are living in shacks. The Appalachian Mountains is full of people like that. They have nothing. There's people overseas that have nothing. You know, there's so much these people could be doing with their money, but they're greedy. They feel like their satisfaction is, well, I gave $1 million. Well, how many million did you have? I don't know, 100 million. I gave 1 million. Well, that's sad, ain't it? To me, it's sad. I bet Jesus thinks it's sad. The Lord thinks it's sad. It's not right. And it's not right because I don't have $1 million. It's not right because if I only got $100 and I keep 99 of it, then it's not right of me either. So it's not a matter of the amount of money. It's a matter of what money you have and what you do with it. And that's really what it boils down to, your stewardship. Now, Jesus knew that this rich young ruler was looking for a way to earn his salvation on his own terms. He may have thought that the teacher, Jesus, would give him a specific task or, you know, to carry out or work to, you know, that he had to do, and that would confirm him, for his eternal life. But Jesus gave him something that required him to humble himself and to bring his life under the authority of Christ. Do you hear what I just said? Under the authority of Christ. How many of you live under the authority of Christ? I don't think very many of us do. If we did, we'd certainly be doing a lot more than we're doing now. Well, instead, Jesus drove him to the law. He gave him a requirement that went to the heart of the issue, his money, and the rich young man's desire to retain control of his own life. You shall not covet was the part he did not keep. This became evident from his reaction to what Jesus said that he must do. Even if the rich young ruler would have given away his riches, he wouldn't have earned his salvation, naturally. Jesus wasn't implying that salvation can actually be earned by one good deed or many of helping the poor. That's not what he was saying. However, now listen, if he had surrendered his life and followed, his desire for money would have faded in light of the grace and knowledge of Christ. Or it should have if he was truly following Christ. Proverbs 13:7 says, "There is one who makes himself rich and has nothing. There is one who has become poor and yet has great riches." You see that? How many people you know in your church that have great riches that are going to become poor? Because they had their reward now. The Lord has, Jesus said that many times. They have their reward. They're not going to get anything else. But yet there's so many that are poor. Who are going to become rich, but not necessarily financially. We're talking about in heaven, eternal life. So many people and preachers redirect what the Lord is saying here. Your reward is in heaven. Don't be a Benny Hinn and say, I want my gold now. It's not the way it works. Verse 22 of that same Proverbs 13 says, but he was sad at his word, or excuse me, back to the rich young ruler. Verse 22 says, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see what he said? This rich young ruler walked away sad because he had a lot of possessions. He had a lot of money, probably a lot of gold, a lot of trinkets, a lot of maybe houses, clothes, everything, horses, chariots, whatever. And he didn't want to get rid of it all. So it made him sad to find out that he couldn't buy his way into heaven. You know, so how many of you have heard that, you know, the gospel and left Jesus instead of leaving your possessions that, you know, stop you from following him? A lot of people have. A lot of people. That's why in churches today, you won't hear, very seldom ever will you hear a preacher talk to anybody about giving away their possessions and giving away their money, because they don't want you to leave the church. They want the money there, but they know if they tell you to get rid of your money, then you're not going to have enough left for them, I guess. And so they you know, or you're going to deny what the preacher's preaching, and you're going to leave the church because you're not giving up your money. You just don't hear it anymore. You know, why did Jesus give this man a harder task than others? You might ask yourself that. Well, he knew what was in his heart and what was the block to surrender his life to following. To follow Jesus. It's one thing to know the law. It's another to do it. This man could not do what was necessary. And that's the question you have to ask yourself. Well, Jesus did not give him a different requirement than what is asked of others. Only what this man had to give up was different. Jesus declares to us, now listen, unless you pick up the cross, you cannot follow me, nor are you worthy of me. Mark 8:34-36. 34 through 36. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Money, folks, often gets in the way of sound judgment. What Jesus is saying is, forsake what keeps you from following him. Now, I wish there was a way for me to beat this into the head of all the people in the church that have money, that sit there and all they talk about is some money. How do I want to say this? The ones who verbalize it primarily are Pentecostals, charismatics. You know, the Baptists, the Christian church, the Methodist church, those, they don't talk a lot about the money. They got it, a lot of them do, and you can tell it, and they act like it, but they don't really push the money thing as like the Pentecostals do. They'll tell you, you know, give $1,000, get $100,000 back. I mean, they dare you to give them $1,000 so you can get a, you know, 30, 60, 100 full return. You know, other churches don't do that. Thank God they don't. But at the same time, they also, a lot of churches don't preach to the people and tell them what the word says. That's the problem. That's one of the problems of the many that's in the church today. We have become so humanized that we forget that it's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's not flesh and blood. It's spiritual. And we think that we, you know, so many people think that they have to live a certain way. They have to have the best of everything. They've got to have, you know, this, and they've got to have that. And they can't understand why anybody would be poor. After all, you got to do is go out and get a job and work. And then, you know, most of the people you hear say that were born into money or came into a lot of money. The person who works hard naturally will tell people, you know, you get a job, go out and work, you can get by. You know, but it's different with the people who got money. They don't understand how come you ain't got a lot of money. Well, because a lot of people just don't have a job that pays a lot of money. They don't have a family that gave them a lot of money. They don't have a job that pays a lot of money. They make a living, and that's what they make. It's different. And the ones who I see people every day in life, in my business work, in church, everywhere I go, I see people with a lot of money that ignore, flat out ignore the people that are poor. Absolutely act like they don't exist. I've seen it right in my own church. I've seen it right in my own job. I've seen it right in my own communities. I've seen it in my own family even. And it's sad. It's heartbreaking. It's heart-rending to know that this is what goes on. But it is. It is. You how do I say this? You take somebody in a church who's very wealthy as an example. And let's just say that the youth group or whatever is trying to raise money to go on a trip or to go on a missions trip, I should say, or maybe they're trying to get money together to help this poor family that their house burnt down and had no insurance, or maybe it was a rental property, they had no way to recoup anything and lost everything. And so they take a collection and maybe they'll get $2,000-$4,000 or $5,000 or something like that, or $10,000 even. It really helps the people out. Naturally, it does. But you got the rich man or two or three or whatever's there sitting there that's worth a fortune, that $100,000 wouldn't hurt them a bit, and they might have put in $500. That's the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about. You want to hoard up your possessions here on earth, then that's going to be your reward. But you want to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow the will of the Lord, and do the will of the Lord, and do as he instructed with your finances. There's a big responsibility with finances. That's why it's so hard for the rich man to get into heaven. It's a camel can go through the eye of a needle easier than a rich man can get into heaven. They need to take that to heart and understand the Lord said it. And it's the facts. It's the way it is. You do the things the Lord wants you to do, your reward's going to be in heaven. I don't know what better of a reward anybody wants, but selfish man don't see it that way. And that's why you constantly see small churches struggle that's got wealthy people in them, because a wealthy person, I give my fair share. Well, you didn't. Because if you're a millionaire, you didn't give, your $100,000 to the church this year. Your 10%. So don't cry around about I do my fair share. I don't want to hear it, that's for sure. And the Lord don't want to hear it. If you're a millionaire and you give away $10,000 to the church every year and that's all you give, God be ashamed of yourself. Because I guarantee the Lord's ashamed of you. So that's a lesson to be learned with this rich young ruler. You have to accept Christ on his terms and his terms only. For you rich people and I don't want to hear this nonsense about, well, I'm not rich. I only make, $500,000 a year or $200,000 a year or whatever. That's a pretty wealthy living, a pretty good living if you're living in somewhere besides New York City, I guess. There's more you can do. There's more you can do for poor people that are struggling. Go out and look for these families that you see living in run-down shacks and a woman with two or three kids and can't take care of them, can't feed them properly. And go in there and don't just give them a wad of money. Set up a program to where they get X amount of dollars for this and X amount of dollars for that per month to pay, to get a better place to live or whatever it is. Do something that means something, okay? That's what's important. See you tomorrow, folks. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do. And we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests or would like to, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CAMPPOINT, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.